Okay, so the Honorable Mr. Ray Kavonis will conduct your hearing at this time, so please hang on to the phone, sir.
Mr. Moreno, can you hear me clearly?
Yes.
Can you state your full name and ABC number for the record?
Juan C. Molina, 061292.
Thank you, sir. You are appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a 31412A hearing to consider regular parole, absolute discharge, or home arrest. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing with you today. You can see on the video conference screen, I'll begin with the opposite side of the bench of where I'm sitting. But the opposite side, we have the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, Lady Torrance. We have the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. The center of the bench, we have our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright. Next to me is Honorable David Neal. My name is Luigi Donis. I'll be serving you as the panel of lead for this hearing. I'd like to begin this hearing with a summary. Mr. Juan Molina, ABC number 061492. He is 56 years old. On January 9, 2017, Mr. Molina was found guilty by jury trial and sentenced to two concurrent prison sentences for aggravated assault and repetitive offense. These crimes occurred on July 13, 1986, while he was already on probation for an unrelated aggravated assault charge from 1984. Does that sound correct so far, Mr. Molina?
Yes.
He was approximately 24 years old at the time of the incident offense. He was sentenced to life in prison with an additional 5-year consecutive sentence for aggravated assault, in which he was granted parole from that concurrent prison term in May 2nd, 1989. He's been eligible for regular parole since October 18th, 2014. And I will read a short summary of the offense in question. On July 13, 1986, while on routine patrol in Reed Park, Tucson, Arizona, Tucson police officers observed an assault in progress. As the officers approached, Mr. Molina pointed a loaded weapon at one of the officers. A short time later, a struggle ensued, and Mr. Molina was detained, while the victim number one nor the officer or victim number two were injured. He was arrested and transported to Pima County Jail and booked. According to Mr. Molina's institutional progress report, he has received moderate programming in the Arizona Department of Corrections. He has a release plan, which includes residing in a halfway house and seeking job opportunities, but the particulars of family support and housing are vague, and that is according to the release plan. We will certainly talk to you. It looks like that we may have some supporters in the room today. Can I see a show of hands? Two supporters? Do you plan on speaking today?
Yes.
Okay. Later in the hearing, I think you've been watching the protocol, but there'll be a time where you'll be called to the podium. We'll be asked to state your name, and then we'll ask you some questions. Thank you. Okay, so as I stated, the release plan seemed a little bit vague, but we'll ask you questions about that. You have a limited history of discipline in the Department of Corrections from 1987 through 2015, with your last major on April 10, 2015 for disobeying a verbal order. This is your ninth hearing before the board. We have some previous letters of support from family members, and as I stated, we have two supporters in the hearing room today. Mr. Molina, this is another opportunity for the board to get to know you. Can you tell us about the crimes that resulted in your incarceration and why you should be considered for supervised release? Thank you. Mr. Molina.
When I was arrested, I pulled out a gun that was jammed. I had protected myself. I brandished the weapon. I was caught by gunpoint, and no one was hurt. I went into a protective mode to protect myself, and nothing occurred. They should have wrote me a ticket and got me for brandishing a weapon. And the other, can you explain to me the other ones you were talking about on, in the Department of Corrections?
Oh, I said you had a limited history of discipline in the Department of Corrections from 1987 through 2015. Was your last major on April 10, 2015 for, it was the abbreviation, but for disobeying a verbal?
Yeah, I didn't have a hair tie, and they won't be up for not having a hair tie because I didn't know. So I put a hair tie on afterwards, which was maybe a week or two ago, because I asked people to have an extra hair tie, and they didn't have one, so I had to buy it at the store and then put it on so I can comply with it. The number one is because I didn't have a hair tie, and it was originally for grooming, because I had long hair and I didn't have it in a, you know, ponytail, you know, to have it in compliance with grooming. So it was a minor item, and because I said no, because I didn't have one, they changed it into a disobeying a direct order, which is a major item.
Well, sir, I do want to credit you. It's been pretty close to 4 years since you had a write-up. Let me review real quickly, but I'm pretty sure that was your last write-up, and that you had a period of no discipline between 2006 and 2015. Is that correct?
Yes.
I want to say this too, and Mr. Molina, this is just in context. It's not to scold or counsel. I'm grateful that no one was shot or killed on the day of your arrest, but I have to tell you, you came very, very close to being in a situation where, in which force was justifiable, or deadly force was justifiable on that day. And as I stated, it's not to lecture, but there's a statistic that just doesn't exist out there, and that is how many times law enforcement officers could have justifiably shot somebody but choose not to because they try to de-escalate the problem. So I consider you a very lucky individual for walking away from the arrest that day. Nonetheless, I recognize that you were convicted for two aggravated assaults and that you've been in the Department of Corrections for a considerable amount of time. So you are reminded that we look at the totality of these cases. Certainly your discipline is not the only thing we're considering today, okay, sir?
Yes.
I did make reference to, you had a detailed statement in your release plan, but then it was kind of vague as well. It seemed more like you searching for ideas about what you may want to do when you return to the community. But have you been accepted into a halfway house, or do you have a very firm plan should this board vote to grant home arrest or regular parole?
Right now, I don't have an address. They had one there in the counselor's room, and I wrote them once, but I never got a response, so right now I don't have one. My brother-in-law, my sister, they wanted to find some housing for me, or I would be able to get out there and have some housing. All I have now is just maybe two residents that could be annexation areas in Phoenix, and that's about all. I haven't really wrote anybody else. I was waiting for a response from that one halfway house, and I never had it.
I'm going to ask some of the general questions that we usually ask in these types of hearings. What was going on in your life when you were in your early 20s? You had a previous assault in which you were on probation. There was this incident. What was going on in your life, Mr. Molina?
Back then, on the original, I was on 5 years probation, and that's what they put me on. I had 6 months in jail from August, and I was on probation before me. They accused me of being another ones, which then got me from her machine and weapon. But once I was on, I was doing real good. I was working at Bob's Big Boy in Tucson, and I, that one day we chose to go to a bar, me and my two friends who worked also. And what happened was, on that day, there was another guy who, which I had signed a plea agreement because it was an accidental discharge when they put me on probation for 5 years probation and 6 months in jail, in King County Jail, which I had worked for a little. I had 90 days right of free, and then they put me on work for a little, so they had us as inmate trustees, and we would go work in laundry, landscaping, and kitchen work. Jeanette Galvin was the head supervisor out there. And the Pima County Adult Probation Department trained. The Pima County, the main jail, the Pima County Adult Detention Center complex, it's always mixing me up with Pima County's probation. And I worked there, and I finally got to work for a little. I got a job at Boston Big Boy. Before that occurred, I was becoming a manager. I would have been a manager trainee for Bob's Big Boy to become an assistant manager. And I guess everything just fell apart from there. I went to go, that night, we went drinking, we went home. There was this guy on probation who accidentally got shot when this occurred. And I went over there to go get some bullets because he was on probation. And anyone who was on parole or probation shouldn't even have a weapon or ammunition. So I was just going over there to go get them back because he was on probation. Well, the guy says, well, one thing led to another and I had a gun, and that was like 20 and 10 months. And that's why they put me on probation. And somehow or another, they were partying, and I was heavily drunk. I just went over there to go get the bullets. I didn't, you know, harass him or anything else. I let me in because he was a friend. And one thing led to another. The gun comes out. The gun had a fair sensitive trigger. So I was standing in front of him, and either I was going back, which is my theory, or he hit the gun up. And as he hits the gun, it goes off and it goes in his shoulder, in the front of his shoulder and out, and it goes into the ceiling. So that's what they had put me on probation.
Let me ask you a follow-up question. Now again, I do credit you for having fairly moderate discipline in Ames. And keep in mind, you know, we see people with pages and pages of discipline. And it would seem that after around 2006, which is already 12 years ago, or close to 12 years ago, you had a long period without discipline up until this last one in 2015, and you've explained that. But the majors during that short time seem to be leaning towards violence. There was a physical assault. Says shooting. Actually, can you explain to me what shooting means inside the DOC?
Shooting?
Yeah, it says, it's a long time ago, but it's March 8, 1990. What's that related to?
I don't recall what that is, a shooting?
It just says shooting.
Can you explain to me what type of shooting?
No, it just says shooting.
I don't know what that is, I don't recall.
Well, I'll move along, then there's threatening with a weapon. There's a major for disobeying an order, then another major for disobeying an order. And then it's like it almost seems like you calmed down some. So in those early days, were you prone to fights? I mean, The convictions that resulted in prison were both related to assaults. They were both related to the gun, so to speak. And what's changed in you over the years?
I think I can explain the one on the first one you talked of.
Oh, no, hold on, sir. I'm not trying to cut you off. I'm saying you had some violations inside prison that were, you know, seemingly more violence related, and then your discipline dropped off. So what changed in you? What has happened since those years?
For me, I was just protecting myself, you know, as anybody would do. But for me, it's all changed because people would take advantage of different other people, so I had to just take a stand and take care of myself, basically, and try to let them know, well, the guy had a stick, and you know, I was on top and we were in the room, and I told him that he starts banging because he wanted to make noise, and he was on coffee, and I was like, hey, if you do anything like that, I'm going to pull out a razor and cut you or something, because he was going to come at me with a stick. So there I was trying to protect myself, more like when I got caught in the park. I was protecting myself, but I couldn't shoot anybody with a javelin. And I just kept him at bay. So he wouldn't hit me with a small boomstick that he broke, and he was all hopped up on coffee. And that was one of the things. Everything else, it was like I was trying to stay away from violence, and everybody would come to visit me, would help me, would guide me into trying to get into these programs and programming and everything. You know, just to have something better else to do than just to go violently and just, you know, take care of anything by violence. So initially, I changed pretty much.
Did you have a mentor or did you attend some program that made a difference in your life after 2006?
Out here in different areas, yes. I'm an inmate traveler. Interstate contact traveler. I also had probation, so I couldn't leave the state. So I would, a lot of people would try to mentor, like they had NA in East Tucson and Santa Rita. They had different sponsors that would come to meetings and we would have it. And that was NA Spanish, of course. And they would have mentors like that. And I forgot sponsor, but I had forgotten his name, and he would come from the outside, come into prison, and we would have the NA meetings, and they would try to mentor us, and we looked upon something else rather than drinking, and be focused on positive subjects and everything else program, and try to get enough to make the board and get relief. So a lot of people in these teachers, guards, everyone from all different types of walk were trying to educate you, trying to let you know what to look for, better your scores in school and everything else. Just I've taken two courses here, cultural diversity, and I've also taken money management here. Other places I've taken AA, NA, substance abuse awareness. And in Douglas, I had the workforce reentry program too. You know, cowering within, which was a prerequisite for release. Paul Haber in Tucson Complex, we had the pre-release program. So I was venturing towards gaining all this knowledge and being prepared so when I do make the board, I can go out there and be maybe a little bit more integral part of society, becoming something more positive rather than staying here for protecting myself and trying to keep other people from, you know, pushing me down the wrong direction. So I sort of bit my lip and kept on the right path. And that's been pretty hard for me. A lot of other people who see me go through this and everybody else helping. So I've been pretty much keeping on the right schedule and keeping on the right path. So that's allowed me to change and to go forward. Be successful at something else that I'm better at rather than all of this.
Okay, Mr. Molina, you're only 56 years old. I'd like to believe that's still young. It looks like that you've developed some masonry skills, is that correct?
Yes.
Tell me about that. What do you plan to do for a living or for income or for resources should you be released?
When I was out there before, a little bit before and here, when I was 18, I used to become a laborer. You know, I would mix the mud, get the mud to the different bricklayers. They finally, after 3 months to 6 months, I ended up laying some bricks, so I have some experience. I also went to Tucson College of Business for drafting. And I've got a certificate for drafting. And now I've been in here in prison and I'm working towards operator's certificate because they say, you know, technology is the future, so that can help in anything as to in the future when I do get released. So I'm trying to find some options, but the job market is like, you might have one job and another one might open. So I really, I'm like, I want to say what I want to do, which is this, but I don't know what the market's going to be when I get released. And then I might have to change into either another area, which then I would be able to give them their address. Not live with my parents like I had when I was 24, be out there on my own. And just really work with what I have, present to future, because everything else is in the past, so I'm just working steadily forward.
Okay, Mr. Molina, let me ask a couple of members any questions for you. Yes, Ms. Rittenhouse.
Thank you, Mr. Quinones. Mr. Molina, I'm curious why I see in the past that you have either refused to sign or you didn't want to come before the board. What changed your mind? Why did you come today and you didn't want to in the past?
Okay, let's begin with when I didn't want to. I went to the parole board in Florence, ASPC Florence, in ASU, which is Arizona Segregated Unit, and they had a tape recording, and that's why I didn't want to sign, because I thought these people would check and say, hey, I received the warrant, and the tape conversation, it was all taped, they had a tape recorder, and then I was talking to the microphone, and the three panel members were male, and there was one young woman who had a roster, and she was there. And when I signed, I had signed Molina 61492, and I had asked them to verify it before I came to the first board. I came out here was in August 20th of 2015, and it was, again, the media board. Usually I was in front of panel board, so that's why I refused, because I figured, well, they gave it to me in Florence, and all they had to do was check, so I could, and they had called me to sign for it, that's when I had refused.
Okay, sir, thank you. Thank you. Thanks, Mr. King.
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. I'm ready for the questions from fellow board members. Okay, Mr. Molina, I'm going to follow from that question from Ms. Rittenhouse. I wasn't quite so sure of your answer. You were concerned about being recorded?
Oh, no. The hearing was recorded. The actual board hearing was recorded on a cassette tape. And therefore, they could, when they checked from here, they could listen to it because they had given me the warrant in Florence.
Okay, I guess that's kind of unique.
Because they usually tape it, you know, so that way they can say, well, if he went to the parole board or didn't, I could lie about it and I would tell them I was there, but it was, they were here, the actual me receiving the award, and, well, actually, what they have taped on the cassette is the actual award ceremony, where they have given me the award.
Thank you, Mr. Molina.
They could have listened in and, you know, understood.
Okay, sir. Mr. Molina, I'm going to ask your supporters if they want to address the board at this stage of the hearing. So, who would like to come up to the podium first? Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Could you state your name for the record?
My name is Angelo Molina, and I'm his brother.
Okay, sir. And what would you like to share with the board this morning?
Basically, is that he's been incarcerated for a long time.
So he gets very emotional. We both do
get
very emotional.
No, that's understandable. These are emotional hearings. Thank you.
I've had a stroke, and I have to take a the pseudo-barbary fallacy. Yeah, emotions come in.
Excuse me.
But sometimes it only lasts about a minute, and then I'll be okay. He's been incarcerated for a while, and while he's been incarcerated, he's been working on himself to become a better person, you know, such as going to school, doing various jobs, doing anger management and stuff like that. What I want to say is that he's been in for so long that it's been like two generations of his family that doesn't really that doesn't really know how he is or ever met him, you know. But since he's been in, he's lost his father, his mother. Right now, is one of his older sisters. This has been going through breast cancer. All I can say right now is that if he's granted parole, that we live here in Englandale, and we have a room in our house. It's just me and my wife, and I'll be willing to have him under my care, and based on what he knows right now, as far as work skills and stuff, if we have to, we'll send them to school to pick up work skills, because as far as, like he said, with technology being the way of the future and stuff, that will limit his work ability in the community. But if we send him to school where he can pick up a trade or learn other skills that are more current now, that'll make it easier for him to obtain the job And as far as him being released, if it's up to the board, if they see it fit, that we'll be good stewards in trying to keep him on the straight and narrow. That's all I have right now. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. And again, I do recognize these hearings are very emotional for family. It's good to hear that he has family support. The board does not have control as to ultimately where an individual is approved to live should they be released on whether parole or home arrest. But it is good to have options. So we really do appreciate you appearing before the board. Any questions for Mr. Mooney? Okay, no questions, sir.
I just want
to go ahead, sir.
Have one thing. Normally, some of the family members would be here, but with work commitments and the holidays, and nowadays, it's like if you miss work or whatever, you know, the boss might not think that's a good reason, you know. So they elected me to be the spokesperson. Good job, I did.
Actually, you did a fine job, sir, and thank you for adding that, because that is meaningful that you're saying he has other family members that are supportive of him.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning.
If you can say your name.
Margaret Bodia.
And what would you like to share with the board?
I'm his sister, and it is very emotional. We did, 2 years ago, we sent letters from our brothers. We have my brothers and sisters. He's been incarcerated, people have passed, new people now. My husband's a retired Air Force, so he does have the discipline to put on the straight narrow line, but we've seen over the years that he has, Donnie, we call him Donnie, has changed, and I just, we don't have that much money, so I just try to visit him on food visits, and that way he can, and the other times we kind of don't go due to the fact that we'd rather send him the money because he don't need it in there, but it's not a lot. We do what we can, and whether the courts release him, that we go strictly by what is indicated, because a lot of times, just trying to get here to get the address, and, since I don't know a lot of this stuff, it's kind of complicated, And I did graduate from school, and he needed to, but we're always trying to be positive and convince him, And our father was an alcoholic. He was a boxer in his younger years. Our mom, was very strict. I don't know if this is good or bad, and I'm not trying to put it down. He has no tattoos on his body. And I asked him last week when I went to go visit him, how come you don't have any? And he said, no, because mom said no. So, he still remembers stuff that our mom, So he has none, which is, again, I don't want to put nobody down. It just, my mom always said they recognized you because of that, I'm sorry, I was still looking at him. I really try, and our other brothers and sisters try to be more positive, and we do not condone what he did. So we're trying to get him on the right track, and he has changed a lot, and he's not a gang member, he doesn't hang out with people, he's a loner. And matter of fact, when I visited him last week, there were some inmates wanting to know who was my, who was I there for, and when I pointed them out, they go, he's always picking up. I think he worked outside, picks up trash. oh, he's always picking up trash, you know, which, you know, I think it was a positive for me to say, hey, he's not trying to cause any problems or anything, just going with the system. And I speak for my other brothers and sisters, too, that they're not here, that they are supportive of him in any way they can, you know, help him to be a better person.
Thank you. I certainly don't like to make these bones about myself, but I had to smile when you said that about the tattoo. Because I was given that same strong warning, and I wouldn't do it either. I'm kind of totally tattoo free in this day and age, and you know how hard that is.
Yes, it is. It's
everyone has tattoos. I mean, the world's changed so much, but I find that humorous.
Yeah,
but the other thing is, you know, it's nice to hear that your husband served and that he's a you know, stabilizing influence in the family, and I think that's very meaningful. Any questions from board members? Thank you, Matt. Thank you for coming forward.
Thank you for hearing us.
Okay, Mr. Molina, we're getting very close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We only ask that you don't repeat anything that you've already told us in the interest of time management, but this is your hearing, so is there anything else that you feel is important for us to know or understand before we go into discussion and vote on this case? Thank you, Mr. Molina.
Yes, I'd like to say I'm programmed and worked and had a lot of people helping, as well as guards and inmates, lawyers, even parole, probation, and like I said, the tape would show all the answers that I had given on the parole board to hear on the cassette tape. That was the reason why. And you would have a better understanding of making a better decision. And I have a chance to make way better, more decisions than I do. Even sometimes in my head, don't really understand them, but I try to make the right decisions and stay on the right path. If I do get the board, I'll go check in with probation for the 14 months that, you know, and when they accuse me of being aggravated and false for the jail gun, I would check in with them, and then I would have 5 months parole, and I would check in Tucson and Pima County because that's where I live, or Phoenix if I change residence, which at that time, too, I would have to consult with, you know, Pima County Adult Probation Department, and that was also a solid fine to send me out of state, and it's a good thing because I don't have too many relatives in any other states, but if they do, you know, I would be, well, another person that's somewhere else in a different area that has no help and on my own again. So preferably I would be making anything else much better if I can possibly do so and try to stay on the straight and narrow.
Thank you, Mr. Molina. The board will be going into discussion now. It may sound like that we're speaking with you directly, but as the board discusses the case amongst itself under the open meeting laws of Arizona, you're reminded that none of the board members discuss these cases before we come to this room. We're independent. So we'll all be speaking our own minds and making our separate votes. So if you'll just remain on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly with our decision. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, I do appreciate how Mr. Molina has developed over the years. Even his explanation of his last major in 2015, while it is a major, and I'm certainly not condoning that, it didn't sound like the worst of violations. Moreover, he had a pretty long period of time with low or no discipline, and he's approaching 4 years without discipline at this point. I think the largest concern, not the only concern because we look at everything, but one of my largest concerns is that his release plan is, as I stated in the summary, somewhat vague. Now, I would acknowledge he has the support of his family, and that's really, really good to hear that he has some sort of support or living option that may be approved by parole if he was released on home arrest or regular parole. But he's been productive, and that he seems to really have turned a corner along the way in terms of his behavior. It seemed that he was much more, and I'd be quick to say violent, but I'll say more like fighty. You know, someone maybe spoiling for a confrontation. I did want to call out, just for Mr. Molina's personal development, he's made numerous references to a jam gun, and I have to say again, that sounds very, very close to an individual that was ready to shoot somebody if the gun hadn't been jammed, or an individual that came very close to being in a justified force situation with law enforcement, which is why I think that this charge was so serious. But I won't take away how he's evolved, that he's come a long way in his rehabilitation, and based on his plan right now, I'm not feeling that he's quite ready. I think his plan, as I stated, is a bit vague, but I'm open to the influence of my colleagues, and that's where I'll begin the discussion. Yes, the Honourable Ms. Delvin.
Thank you, Mr. Quinones. I appreciate his, it's nothing that he's said in particular, I guess, but just in watching his body language when he talks about his work, that he actually looks forward to developing a career, with the school and the learning about technology. I think that's important that someone has a positive attitude toward that and an attitude of almost excitement. You can almost see excitement in him. So I agree with you. I'd feel a little more comfortable if there was a little more solid release plan, although he does have the offer of his brother, although that would be to live here, and I think he expressed he'd like to live in Tucson. So, so I'm kind of in the same boat probably with you. I'm just kind of, I'm not close to the idea of release. In fact, I think Mr. Molina's has earned the opportunity. It's just maybe the plans aren't quite solid yet.
Thank you, Ms. Whitehouse. And I think you've articulated that pretty well. I'm very close to that position. I would like to see like a really, really clear, some really clear locations. Even more so than the exact job was, because we don't know what will happen in that path, but he's motivated, and you called out actually some more positive things that I already said, and I appreciate that. Any further input from colleagues? Hearing no further input, I'm going to go ahead and make a motion. And I'm going to make a motion with a positive spin, but at this point, my motion is to deny regular parole absolute discharge or home arrest, but, and we'll see how many colleagues feel about this, I'm also willing to not go for the 1 year, consider 1 year, I'm sorry, 6 month set off as a motivation.
6 months rather than a year.
A year?
Yes.
Okay. So my motion is to deny regular parole absolute discharge or home arrest and with a 6 month parole hearing, and that is my motion.
Second?
Agree.
Seconded by the Honorable Mr. Miller, we come with the Honorable Dr. Wright, the Honorable Mr. Johnson, the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse, who are not asking for a set off. So I'm going to check no. Release tab denied is 4-4-4-11-HA, which again is regular parole absolute discharge. Over the last reasons are as follows. serious and violent offense, trying to convict him. Multiple victims in this case violated their previous probation, history of assault and behavior, prior criminal history, repeat offender, some history of assault and behavior in the DOC, but I'm going historical. And at the risk of sounding maybe a little too negative, because I recognize he does have a release, but I'll say a part of these primary in that it's vague, and we need to see some meat. I know I'm using some everyday language, but a more detailed release plan. And that's no promise. There's no telling what will happen between now and then inside the Department of Corrections, but I think this case looks promising. It's not a promise, but it looks promising. So, any further input from my colleagues? Okay, with no further input, Mr. Molina, did you hear how we voted?
Yes.
Okay.
Can I ask one more question?
Yes, sir.
The counselor did have an end date. Do you happen to have an end date on the time?
An end date of what, sir?
An end date to the sentence?
You do not have a sentence end date for these two concurrent aggravated assault convictions. It was a life prison sentence, so there is no scheduled end date. All we have is a parole eligibility date. Now, again, not to completely school this, you know, there's some options as you continue in your journey. The board could vote for home arrest, which we could later vote for a graduated regular parole, and down the road some people achieve an absolute discharge should they prove themselves reliable and worthy, but that's a matter of, you know, time and dedication. But the bottom line is you have a 25 years of life sentence, so there's no end date to your current sentence.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Molina, and I hope that you heard the motivating and encouraging part of this discussion.
Yes, I did.
So continue on your path, and we look forward to seeing you again in 6 months, and this will bring this hearing to a close. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
Would you put the CEO for me back on the phone, sir?